Hello, everyone. Today we're going through the 10th part of the series, and this actually will complete the series that I've been going on through. And after Easter, we're going to start going through the book of Mark. Today, once again, is the last portion of the series. We're looking at the topic of what is the work of the Holy Spirit. In 2016 in Belgium, there was a cycling race, and there was a 23-year-old and lower division for the cyclists, and there was something that happened at this particular competition. There was an athlete by the name of Adam Tupuk from the Czech Republic, and he was in the lead from the start of the race, and toward the end, he was still leading it, and he was just about to the end, and he was just convinced that he would win, and he was just putting up his hands in victory, in the muscle man pose, trying to get the crowd to cheer for him. After he reached the goal, something interesting happened, because the cyclists behind him were just flying past him, and he thought this was kind of strange. And then he heard the crowd telling him, "What in the world are you doing? You have one more round." In other words, he thought that he had reached the goal, but there was actually one more round that he had to do. And so actually the goal he was supposed to be headed for was still a little farther away. And when you think about this, this can actually be the situation of some Christians. Some Christians think that salvation is the goal. Of course, salvation is amazing. That somebody who's a sinner can be saved and go to heaven, that's amazing in and of itself. And that would be something that you'd want to put up your hands in victory over. However, if you believe that salvation is in and of itself the goal, then you'll miss out on a lot of what God has in store for you. The reason why is that God gives you grace, not only for the goal, but for things past it as well. God allows us to walk with Him in our lives, and there's many things that we can receive in return from Him. The purpose of our lives here on earth, therefore, is exactly what? Well, it's to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And what's important in order to do that is for the Holy Spirit and the Trinity that is within us to have a good relationship with Him. After Jesus Christ went up to heaven, He promised His disciples that the Holy Spirit will come. In John 14:16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." So this "another" here it's talking about in Greek is allos, and what it means is one who is exactly the same. And this advocate he's referring to here in Greek is parakletos, which is meaning of one called to be by your side to help. In other words, what this Holy Spirit is someone who is of the same stature as Jesus Christ, and it will help to transform all of the believers into His image. So when anyone believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in their heart. Today is the 10th of the part of the series, and we're looking at exactly what the work of the Holy Spirit is, mainly at two points. The first point is the work of the Holy Spirit for individuals. The Holy Spirit, first of all, helps us with our praying. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us. So God allows us to realize things and to be able to assist us with which direction we should go. The second thing the Holy Spirit helps individuals do is to understand God's Word. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." In What he's saying here is that when the disciples would receive the Holy Spirit, they would be able to understand what Jesus Christ was saying. The Holy Spirit has the purpose of helping us to understand God's Word. When I went to seminary, there was a professor who had the following testimony. When he was in his 20s, he began going to church and he professed faith. When he was actually making his confession of faith, he said, he knew that the Holy Spirit would come to live in him, and he just assumed that as when the Holy Spirit would be in his body, that he would notice something immediately. And so when he confessed that he believed in Jesus Christ, he really did think that something was physically going to happen to him, but nothing did. And so he was actually kind of disappointed and went home. When he went home, he thought, well, he would go on the, weigh himself and see if there was extra weight in his body because of the Holy Spirit, but there wasn't. That evening, when he was doing his Bible devotion, he realized that there truly was a change in his heart. And that's because when he read the Bible, the verses just really what pierced his heart. It was a totally different feeling that he'd had before when he had read the Bible. When you believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, He allows you to be able to understand God's Word at a deeper level. The third point of how the Holy Spirit helps individuals is that He releases and frees them. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." So the Holy Spirit allows us to get rid of any old ways of thinking that we had that are not in line with God. Around in the world, there's all kinds of different values people have, and some are actually quite good. However, there's also some that definitely oppose God's will. And there's two that I'd like to mention right now. One is materialism, the value of materialism. Around us, there's many different physical things, right? And I'd like to ask you a question. The things you put on or the things you have, are those things where if you were giving the materials, could you have made those things? How many do you think you could have made? Probably almost nothing, right? It's likely the clothes you're wearing, the shoes you're wearing, the Bible you have, even the chair you're sitting on. If you were given the materials to make such things, it's pretty much the case that you would be unable to make any of them. And the world teaches us in this way that we are supported by many people who make things for us. They make a lot of things and spend a lot of time doing research and try to sell us products as cheaply as possible. And as a result, we can buy things and have various things that are useful in our lives. So we are living in a very convenient world. However, about 40 years ago, when people received a computer, like the IBM 5100, about 40 years ago, it cost 5 million yen. But now, most laptops cost around 10,000 yen. You can see how we are truly living in a very convenient world at this time. However, even though it is quite convenient, the false value teaches us that the more things we have, the more happy we'll be. And that's just materialism and what it teaches. Of course, having products and having money in and of itself is not bad. But if you make the base of your life those things, then that will be dangerous. Because based on your circumstances, you may lose those things very quickly. And if that's how you base your life, when those things are gone, then your value of life and values in general will all crumble to the ground. In Japan, about even more than 20,000 people commit suicide each year. One of the main reasons why they commit suicide is due to economic reasons and economic problems. However, in countries that are much more problematic for economic reasons, they don't have such a high suicide rates. You can see that many Japanese people have a deep connection in this way with materialism, which is very unfortunate. Also, another thing that truly opposes God's will is the freedom of sexuality. In the world, it's quite popular that everybody should be free with everything, and there's many people that just think that young people should be living together before they get married and they can just do whatever they want. And in some cases, people even are promoting and saying that adultery is acceptable. There's many dramas and TV shows that actually promote it as well. However, what has happened to the society because of such a promotion of this? Well, there's been sexually transmitted diseases increased, and abortion's a problem, and there's an increase in divorce as well. In the world, there are many things that truly oppose the values of the Bible. And because of this, if we follow those things, we will have very deep scars and pain in our life. We live, however, in such a society, so even after we're saved, we are still impacted to some extent by it. So some people may think, well, I've lived in a society that opposes God so far in my life, so I can just keep on living that way. And it's true that on your own strength, you probably can't change. However, we have hope because inside of us, we have the Trinity and He loves us and He wants to guide our lives. The Holy Spirit lives with us. That's why He can allow us to have hope to walk in a new way. In regards to materialism, the Holy Spirit tells us that we can't find happiness in items and things, but rather in relationships with other people and especially with God. And in this way, He can tell us how we can live our lives in a more appropriate, God-honoring way. Our lives here on earth are very short and just temporary, and we can't take any of our materials with us when we die. So anything we have here should be used for God's purposes. And the same is true for freedom of sexuality, because sexual immorality and sexual chastity are things that we need to keep in mind, figure out what God wants and what He doesn't want us to do. And we are to be changed into God's image and have His values in regards to that. There's all kinds of other problems in our lives as well. However, if we rely on the Holy Spirit, then we can have release and resolution to such things. Let's look at the fourth point about how the Holy Spirit works for individuals, helps them. He pours out God's love. In Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." In other words, the Holy Spirit works and lives inside of us. He allows us to be able to experience and know about God's deep love for us. There was once a man, and he said the following. He said that he understood this concept of salvation on the cross, and he just didn't understand why something 2,000 years ago could have anything to do with us today, and he couldn't believe because of that. However, in one worship service, the Holy Spirit really worked inside him, and he realized that, yes, Jesus Christ did die for his sin, and that Jesus loves us so much that He gave His life for us. And he understood it not just in his heart, in his head, but also in his heart. In this way, the Holy Spirit is working inside of people, and He allows them to be able to show and to know God in a deeper way. In other circumstances as well, the Holy Spirit allows us to know more about and notice more about God. I'd like to tell about one testimony of a person. His name is Philip Yancey, and he's a Christian journalist in the U.S. His books are also available here in the back of the sanctuary. I'd like to tell you one thing that happened to him. When he was about 10 months old, his father died of a disease, and he doesn't remember anything about him, and he was raised by his mom. After one day, when he was more an adult, he went to see his mom, and there was a box on the shelf that just fell on the floor, and everything in it fell out. And so when he was picking all the things up, he noticed that there was a picture of pictures of him from when he was a baby all the way up through when he graduated. When he was looking at these pictures, he noticed there was one that was just totally crumbled up. And when he looked at it closely, he realized it was a picture of him when he was about 10 months old. And so he asked his mom, he asked, "Why did you keep such a crumpled up, picture of me?" And his mother said to him, "Well, this is the picture that your father held on to." When his father was about 24 years old, he came down with spinal polio, and he died just 3 months after he was diagnosed. This disease caused his whole body to become paralyzed, and he had to be put into this artificial respirator in order to breathe. At that time, polio didn't have a vaccine, and it was very contagious, so he wasn't able to see his son after he was born. However, he was able to see the picture of him when he was 10 months old because his mother stuck it into the respirator in order for him to be able to see it. And that's why when it was pushed through, it got crumpled up. So when Philip Yancey heard about this, he said that when he found out about the crumpled picture, that he just felt this very strange feeling. Somebody who he'd never remembered meeting before just loved him so much. In the last few months of his father's life, when he was looking in the respirator, he was able to see the picture of his son at 10 months old. And he was wondering what he was thinking. He would have been praying for his family. And he would have been thinking about how much he loved him. So that crumpled up picture was something that connected him to his father, who he didn't even remember, and somebody who hadn't even touched. But he realized that his father truly did love him. So when he knew about this hidden love of his father, he was able to truly have a deeper understanding of Jesus' love for us. Because Jesus is like his father in that he gave his life many, many years ago for us. So through his father's love, Philip Yancey was able to know more about and experience more about the love Jesus has for us. The Holy Spirit works in our daily lives and allows us to be able to realize many different things. He allows us to realize these things, and also through the relationships we have with our family and friends. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can learn more about and know more about Jesus' love for us. So we've just looked at the work of the Holy Spirit for individuals and looked at four different points, and how he provides various feelings of grace for us through this. And as we depend on the Holy Spirit, we can be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. I'll read 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we all, who have unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Let's look at the second point today. The work of the Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit, first of all, helps by maintaining unity in the church. In the early church, in the first century, there were two different cultures that kind of opposed each other at that time. One was the Jewish and one were the Gentiles. And the Jewish people looked down on the Gentiles and thought they were people who would not be blessed by God. And the Gentiles looked down on the Jewish people because they thought that they were just always better than them. So there was this very deep grudge between both of them. And in the church, though, the Holy Spirit was able to bring these two groups of people together. In Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And this is talking about the Gentiles and Jewish people together here. Within the church, the Holy Spirit was able to bring these two people, groups of people together. And not only that, also men and women in that era, and slaves and slave owners and so on, the Holy Spirit was given to all these people. So in one way, the church was the first place that really had no social discrimination or prejudice, and it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Our church here is the same. As we have, even if the number of people increases, we have a pyramid. We will not make a pyramid type organization out of it, because each and every one of us who believes has the Holy Spirit in them, and they can deepen their relationship with God in that way. So naturally, there will be unity, and that's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The second point of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church is that he encourages the expansion of missions. In the day of Pentecost, the mission was going to expand around the world. Through the Holy Spirit, the disciples were able to learn what exactly it was that Jesus Christ had done, and they were able to expand their mission because of that. In the same way, the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us who believes, and we can be reminded of Jesus' desires and the desire for the mission to expand. As a member of God's family, we can put our efforts together and expand his mission around the world. There's things that we can do that one person alone can't do. We can do together as a group. In the church, the third point of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to revitalize gifts. According to the Bible, when anyone believes in Jesus Christ, at least one gift is given to them. One spiritual gift. And Romans 12:6-8 and 1 Corinthians 12:4-8 and 4-11 and 28, it talks about this in more detail. According to some data, there are many different skills and abilities that each person has in the numbers of 500 to 700. The Holy Spirit allows us to be able to realize and utilize these gifts God has given to us. And these gifts can be used to help each other here in the church. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." In the church, there's all kinds of different volunteer things that people can do. For example, in the worship service, some people prepare flowers, or the projector, or line up the chairs, or sing the music, or work with the sound booth. There's interpreters, there's people who greet. There's just all kinds of different things people do to help out with the worship service to make it possible. Not only that, but there's all the different kinds of groups and gatherings that the church has as well, and there's different tasks that people help out with those as well. If there's anybody here who is not helping to do something in the church, we invite you to start doing something that you have interest in. And in doing so, you may find that you have a gift with something that you didn't even realize before. As we help out in a church, we can not only see our gifts expand in their potential, but we can also realize that it truly is more blessed to give than receive, which is what Jesus Christ taught. in the U.S., there's an IT company that's very big called Perot Systems. In the 1990s, this company each year had a Christmas party for all of their employees. And the amount of money they spent on it in Japanese yen would have been about 45 million yen. So it was a large amount of money. Each year, the president would have all the employees get together and have this massive Christmas party. However, one year, when it was near Christmas, the president, who was Mayerson at the time, said to his employees, "This year, we're not doing a Christmas party. It's canceled." And the employees were all majorly disappointed because they had been really looking forward to it and been working hard for the past year. And the president then followed up by saying, "Well, this year we're going to use the same amount of money and we're going to buy presents. And so on Christmas Day, we want you to take all these presents to the poor people in the city." And at first, the employees were just really complaining and grumbling. And they're like, why did cancel the Christmas party? And now we have to go give out presents to poor people. However, the president commanded them to do so. And so they had to do it. On the day before Christmas, they went to the company storage warehouse. And there was a ton of food and clothing and toys that they had bought. And on Christmas Day, each of the employees took what they were supposed to take to the specific area they were assigned. And then they went back to the company warehouse to get more and then went back out again. And it was something strange that happened. The employees, when they came back, they were just so full of joy. And the reason why was that they realized that they were able to experience what joy it was to give people something that they couldn't have had otherwise. So they came back to the company with tears in their eyes. In this way, the employees were able to experience something truly amazing. And when the employees look back on that Christmas, they all said, "Through that experience, we realized that our lives were truly changed." And they realized truly that it was more blessed to give than to receive. And they found joy in that. In the same way, when we help out here at the church or help out in the community, we can realize that truly it is more blessed to give than received. And align our hearts with what Jesus was teaching. Today, we looked at the topic of what is the work of the Holy Spirit. And salvation is not the goal for us. In our lives here, we are to be conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. Until we go back to heaven, we are to be filled with joy and to follow Jesus in this way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this worship service this morning. Thank you for allowing us to look at what the work is of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we realize that you are truly the Trinity and you are always with us. In our lives, we realize that we have values and things that are difficult to change. But because you're with us at all times, we are able to change. And we can have hope for change as well. So thank you for allowing us to remember that today. In the same way, Lord, we thank you for giving us gifts and allow us to be able to use those with those around us. And through doing so, Lord, allow us to realize that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Allow us, Lord, to receive your grace and blessing here while we are on earth. In this coming week, we ask that you allow us to be filled with joy as we are with you in all of our situations. We have great expectations. Pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment in silence. I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. That concludes.